Welcome back to On The Record. This is the podcast series started last year by the two Mikes. I'm Mike Graham. You are who?
Yeah.
Who are you?
I'm Mike Porky Parry.
And it's time for us
to... Don't you know who I am?
Well, I do know
who
you are.
You lost your head.
I know exactly who you are, but sometimes you like to introduce yourself, so I give you the opportunity to do so while we do yet another very, very important edition of the On The Record podcast, which has got now well up to somewhere like 5 million views.
It's going up to 5. Well. I spoke to Sam, our producer, who puts these things into shape.
Yeah.
He told me only a couple of days ago we're heading up to 5 million, so we're very pleased about
that. Yeah. Now, we did speak in the last episode of the two Mikes on the record about the night manager.
Yes.
And you mentioned the name of the actress. Her real name is actually Elizabeth Debicki.
I told you it was Debicki.
No, I wasn't sure if you said Debicki.
No, I said Debicki.
Elizabeth Debicki, anyway. I just thought I'd tell you, that's her there.
Yeah, well, thank you.
The one who's very tall.
Very gorgeous woman.
Yeah, very nice.
And she's, of almost course, as gorgeous as Demelza, who's coming back in the fifth and final episode of Poldark.
Is Poldark not finished yet?
No, it's another episode coming, which is absolutely brilliant.
I hate Poldark. It's an absolute load of old rubbish.
I love it. I think it's brilliant. I love that period of history. I love Cornwall. I love the Wreckers, the Pirates, you know, all of that. The British Empire.
Well, luckily,
it's
this
brilliant.
Is not Porky Vision, because we haven't got one of those scheduled for a while.
Now, I'll tell you what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about psychiatrists, okay?
Okay.
And I don't want any jokes in this, because...
Why not?
Because mental health is a very serious issue.
Yes, of course it is.
So, if
have
it's
you
a
ever
very,
seen a psychiatrist?
I've seen psychiatrists, but I've never been to a psychiatrist.
I mean, have you ever been seeing one as a patient? I mean,
no, of course
some
not.
Some people would suggest that that probably be something you should try doing.
Really? And you think that's funny, do you?
Well, I do.
That's funny, do you? Do you? Really? Yeah.
Well, because I think, you know, you might occasionally, like we all do, need some help with your mental health.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think I really appreciate your concern, but I think
we're
doing all right.
Listen, I'm just trying to help
out. Knobhead. Right, now then. So, here we are. Here we are.
Here we are.
This happened in the last few days, okay, but it's rumbling on. A woman called Zolia Alimi, who's 56, she came to this country over 20 years ago, and she produced a bit of paper when she came here and said...
You came here from where?
University of Auckland in New Zealand.
Uh-huh.
She said, I'm from New Zealand.
Yeah, fashion chips.
I got a degree from the University of Auckland, New Zealand. For the last 20 years, she has been treating people for their mental health problems.
Right.
The General Medical Council have now admitted that they didn't properly check out the certificate she brought, which were worthless bits of paper.
Right.
Not only that, but now they have conceded that over 3,000 foreign doctors come to this country have been accepted and allowed to practice here on the strength of a piece of paper, certificate
See,
only.
That can't be right. Do you remember there was a case a few years ago of a guy who was a locum? And in fact, although he had originally...
Was he the German guy?
Yeah, he was originally from Africa, but he'd come in via Germany.
Right.
He spoke
no
English whatsoever.
That's right.
Right. He wasn't able to understand what anybody was saying to him.
Yeah.
He didn't know what he was actually prescribing people. And he prescribed somebody, I don't know if it was a child or a young person, the wrong medicine, and they died.
That's right,
Right?
Yeah.
And it turned out there was a whole scandal around these locums, people that come in do the work that GPs apparently haven't got time to do, and go to people's houses, go and operate in hospitals.
Yeah.
I mean, this sounds even worse.
Well, you see, my problem here is that people don't see mental health physically in the way that you see a broken leg, in the way that you see cancer, in the way you see a disease.
Right.
But it's a terrible problem.
Yes.
But anybody can come in and start, you know, taking the mickey and saying, I'm a psychologist, I'm a psychiatrist.
Well, you could pretend to be one, couldn't you?
I could, and I'd be a very good one.
You look a bit like a psychologist.
I'd be a very good one. The only psychiatrist...
How do you know you'd be any good at it?
I'd be very good, because I understand the human mind.
Yeah, but you don't care about people.
I do care
about
people.
You have no compassion
for them. I do care about people.
No, you have no compassion.
And I care about the human mind. The only psychiatrist I've ever met was a friend of my dad's, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know where he came from, but I suspect that after the Second World War, a lot of people had, like, what you'd now call post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Yeah.
You see your mates being sunk in ships and all that.
Well, your old man was a hero of the war, wasn't he?
He was a hero
of
the war.
So why would he have had any post-traumatic stress disorder?
Well, people get it, but they didn't talk about it in those days.
Yeah.
They didn't talk about it in those days, okay? And, you know, if your mate, if you suddenly see your mate's head blown off...
Yeah.
When
Is that what he saw, then?
Well, he didn't like to talk about
really?
It. But when a Messerschmitt is strafing your ship in the middle of the Atlantic, you know what I mean?
It's thought he was in D-Day.
He was on D-Day. That was in
well,
the English Channel.
He could have been in the middle of the Atlantic and D-Day.
Well, he served for 6 years.
So what?
So a boat moves around.
Well, it didn't move around that much.
A boat moves around all around the fucking world.
You're either in a European theatre of war.
No.
Or you're in an American theatre of war.
His boat went all around the world. He once met Jack Dempsey in a bar in New York when his boat.
You sure he wasn't just a massive bullshit?
No, definitely not.
When his boat.
So
let's recap. Your dad was in D-Day.
Yes.
He was also in the Battle of the fucking Atlantic.
Yes.
He was also in a New York bar with Jack Dempsey.
That's right.
The heavyweight champion of the world.
That's right. You're having his picture taken.
Have you got the picture?
Because when he got sunk on the way back, guess what he tried to save when it went down?
What, so miraculously he doesn't have the picture?
His picture with Jack Dempsey. Yeah, honestly.
So he doesn't have it, though?
The captain said...
No, he doesn't have it.
The captain said, Parry, the boat is going down.
Parry.
I was going to say. Parry, the boat is going down. Right. Go down and get the ship's log. Because you had to get the captain's log.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that was vital, you know
Star
what I mean?
Star date 2534.
Yeah, it was. So, the old fella went down, right. He went below water, got the log, but then swam to his own cabin, right, underwater.
Are you sure it's not Titanic you've been watching?
No. Got his picture of him and Jack Dempsey in the Jack Dempsey bar.
It slipped from his arms as he was swimming back.
No, he brought it ashore, but then it, like, disappeared. Somebody stole it,
Stole it?
Yeah.
Because, of course, you'd want to steal a picture of somebody else with Jack Dempsey.
With Jack Dempsey's autograph on it.
Fucking rubbish.
No, it's not.
It's not true.
Anyway, the point is...
Did he have any other pictures with anybody else that he lost?
Well, I don't know, really. Yeah. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point of the story is, so...
So he was seeing a psychiatrist, was he?
Well, he may have been, because this guy suddenly turned up at, you know, one Christmas called Dr. Banner.
Dr. Banner?
Now,
surely that can't be his real name.
Well, Dr. Banner is my consultant.
I thought he was your heart guy.
He is at Harefield Hospital, but amazingly...
Was he related to the other Dr.
No,
Banner?
No, well, I don't think so. Amazingly, like 50 years ago, this other Dr. Banner is walking around and...
But who takes their psychiatrist home with them?
I don't know. I've no idea.
Well, he couldn't have been treating him, surely.
Well, I don't know. But what I'm saying is... Dr. Banner was clearly much more fucking mental than the people he was treating.
Right. You see what I mean about your lack of compassion for these characters? You know, when we first lived in the flat upstairs, because we lived in two flats in the same building when I was living with my parents in Hampstead. Right?
Yes.
The first flat was really small. It was flat six, at the top of this tiny little staircase. In those days, flat four was occupied by a psychiatrist called Dr. Pye.
Dr. Pye!
Who was a woman, right?
Yeah.
Who was a woman.
My name is Dr. Pye. Do you want steak and kidney or ham and mushroom?
Who ate all the pies?
Yeah.
But these nutters used to come and visit her, right?
These nutters?
No.
Well, they were dangerous, weren't they?
Well, I don't think
And you were young children living in this block.
Yeah, I used to see these characters hanging about in the driveway. It'd be like, who comes to see Dr. Pye?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. You just let them in.
Yeah.
And they'd knock on the door and they'd go in. Yeah. You know, we were never sure whether they'd
check for weapons or anything, did you?
Well, I don't think they were that mad. No. You know, but I mean, in those days, you were kind of slightly. And also, Hampstead was full of psychiatrists. I mean, don't forget, Sigmund Freud was based in Hampstead.
But Hampstead was also full of nutters whose brains had been corrupted by massive amounts of drugs.
Well, I mean, Hampstead was a very bohemian place.
From the, you know, the Summer of Love and all that.
Hampstead was a very bohemian place.
How old are you in the Summer of Love?
Well, I was only eight, I think.
Well, that's what I mean, I mean, Jesus Christ, man.
Well, I mean, Peter Cook had a... There was a picture put out... Danny Baker put a picture out on his Twitter account the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was a picture of him and Peter Cook. Yeah. Peter Cook used to live in Hampstead.
Yeah.
In a place called Church Row.
Yeah.
And apparently somehow Danny Baker had found his way into Peter Cook's lair.
Right.
And all that was on the table, bottle after bottle after bottle, of all sorts of, you know, whiskey, gin, wine. I mean, these guys were piss artists before we even knew what that was.
Peter Cook, right, I read a biography of him, or I read, you know, an extract of a biography of him, and you know, he was so good and so famous, him and Dudley Moore, that he woke up one morning after a massive bender, and he was looking for, you know, another drink, but he drunk literally everything in his house. He probably lived in Hampstead.
Yeah, I know he did.
He drunk everything.
So, yeah, I mean, I know exactly where his house is. Mm.
So the phone rang, right, and somebody said, oh, hello, Peter, BBC here.
Right.
He said, he said, your show last night was utterly fantastic. Would you come on to the BBC C4 programme at 1 o'clock, please, and talk about it?
Right.
So it was about 11 o'clock, and he thought, that's a good way to get a fucking drink. You know, I can't be bothered to go out and drink. He said, yes, send a car.
Right.
So they sent a car.
Right.
He gets in the car, and he's still, you know, in terrible state, because he used to drink, like, three bottles of brandy a day. And he got to Broadcasting House in Portman Square, you know, and they tried to help him out the car. And then they took him upstairs, and he said, right, OK, where's the fucking booze? And some guy from BBC said, oh, I'm really sorry, Peter. you know, the BBC, we do not endorse alcohol before or after interviews.
Yeah, yeah.
And Peter Cook said, if I don't get a bottle of fucking brandy, you don't get an interview. Right. So get on with it.
Right.
And that to send somebody out to get a bottle of brandy.
Unbelievable.
So he had to refill himself for about 20 minutes and just about made the last 5 minutes of the show.
Unbelievable.
Brilliant.
Very funny man. I used to see him walking around Hampstead all the time.
Really?
But the other thing I was going to tell you was that when I was in America many moons ago, when at some point or other, it was at the height of the sort of AIDS crisis, right? And I decided, because I was starting to do quite well, I had my office in Fifth Avenue, I needed to get life insurance, right?
Yes, right.
So, of course, one of the qualifications for life insurance is they had to check you out medically to make sure that you were...
mentally?
Well, they didn't actually check me out mentally, fortunately, otherwise probably never
got it.
But they said you'll have to have an AIDS test. And I didn't really want to have an AIDS test, because I thought to myself, there's only two things that can happen here. One... they'll tell me I've got AIDS.
Right? Yeah,
which wouldn't be very helpful.
Positive, no.
Because I'm one of those people I'd rather not know.
No, exactly.
I mean, if I was like in your position with an acute heart failure, constantly claim to have had, I would rather they didn't tell me.
Well, if you you'd have died. If they hadn't told you, you'd have died.
Well, nobody told you until you actually nearly died.
I know, yeah, that's right.
And it was only after they looked at you
that
they said you've only got 36 hours left, and so you claim.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they said, look, I said, oh, well, all right, well, what do I have to do?
Yeah.
I don't really like hospitals. And they said, don't worry, we'll send somebody to your office who will give you the AIDS test.
Right, okay, yeah.
So I really didn't know what was happening.
No.
And I wasn't too keen. Anyway, they sent this guy, turns up, right?
Yeah.
Who was, I think he was Mexican or something, right? And he didn't look like a doctor to me.
Right.
And he said, oh, hello, my name is Dr. So-and-so, right?
Yeah,
Hernandez or something.
Yeah.
It turned out he'd got a medical degree from somewhere in the Caribbean by sort of correspondence. And he wasn't a fucking doctor at all.
No.
And this was later proven by the fact that he sat me down. I said, well, what do you want me to do? He said, well, all I need to do is take some blood.
Yes.
So I went, okay, then.
Yes.
He took him about half an hour to take some blood because he kept saying, I can't find a vein. He eventually said to me, you're too fat, I can't find a vein. I said, well, hang on a second, you're a fucking doctor.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Do you know where veins are? They're right in the crux of your elbow,
surely you can make a vein. And he couldn't get the blood out.
Well, he was hopeless.
I mean, he was definitely not a proper doctor.
Absolutely.
So this
hopeless.
Woman that you're talking about here, I think is in the same
boat. She's been treating people and charging the NHS like hundreds of thousands of pounds a year and giving diagnoses.
But the NHS is an absolute waste of time, isn't it?
Complete fucking waste of time. Now, the reason this rings a bell with me is because I have a collection of all the Columbo episodes, okay?
Do you? When you say you have a collection, how do you mean that?
Well, I've kept them all.
Well, you mean you got them on DVD?
No, I've got them, like, electronically in my fantastic new telly.
Your magic box?
Yeah, my magic box.
What, you mean you've downloaded
Sky Q
them?
Box.
What,
yeah.
you've downloaded them?
I've downloaded them.
Why?
Yeah. Well, because I like watching them.
But they're always on, though. I mean, Columbo's literally on every day.
Yeah, but you might miss them. You might miss them, so I like to know. Anyway, did you know the very first one involves Columbo and a psychiatrist?
I
this is what
that.
Drew my attention to this the other day, you see.
I didn't know that.
So the plan is, right... This psychiatrist, who's very wealthy, and he's got a place on Pacific Palisades and all that kind of stuff, you know. Obviously,
isn't that terrible, by the way, the whole firing business?
Shocking.
There?
Absolutely shocking. I feel so sorry for these people.
It's awful, isn't it?
It's absolutely
Did
awful.
Did you see that picture of Anthony Hopkins' house, which apparently has been saved?
Oh, right.
Everything around it,
right.
somewhere near Malibu,
Good
has
God.
Been burnt to a crisp.
God.
Miraculously, his house, which is a lovely sort of old-style-looking... Yeah. You know, kind of mansion.
Bit of brick in it.
With a red brick roof.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And a white sort of stucco frontage.
Good God.
It's completely intact. It's bizarre.
You can't live in it, though. It would be so smoke damaged inside,
I'm
you see. That's
that.
A problem.
I don't know.
But anyway, point of my story is, so this great Columbo, and it's the first one Columbo ever did.
Yeah.
First one, I couldn't believe it. Gene Barry plays a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
And the plot is all about Gene Barry is shagging every receptionist he's got in his psychiatric...
Right. How many has he got?
Practice. What?
How many secretaries?
Well,
have
only
you got?
One at a time.
Oh, I
only
see.
One at a time,
right.
you know, and then he sacks them, you know, right. because the shagaroonie might get him in trouble with his wife.
Okay.
But his wife is actually the daughter of a very wealthy man who put up the money for the practice in the first place.
Okay.
But the sheer fucking nonsense of psychiatry in America is that a lot of people in California are nuts.
Yeah.
In fact, almost everybody in California is fucking nuts. No, they are.
Well, you've said that before.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think everybody is.
I think almost everybody in California is a wacko, right? And so one of these days, if everything else fails in my broadcasting life, I'm going to go to California with one of these pretend certificates.
No, yeah. Well, you get your mate to forge one for
you. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, yeah, I'll post to Steve. Grow my silver fox beard a little bit longer.
Yes.
you know, hire a suite of rooms.
Call yourself Sigmund.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, hire a suite of rooms, sit there, and put a pipe in my mouth and start going.
Just do a little nodding.
And then some nutter will come in, you know, and say, "Doc, I'm suffering from anxiety."
Don't forget some letters after your name.
Yeah, get some letters of my name. Yeah, I'll say, yeah, it's Michael Pocky Paris, TMTV, you know. And what's that stand for, Doc? The member of the Vestral, you know, or something like that, you know. And then someone will come in and say, suffering from anxiety. And then I'll talk him through, and I'll chew my pipe and say, you know, don't need to be anxious, don't need to be
anxious. Well, do you know, if you are, in fact, a proper doctor in California, and somebody comes in and says they're suffering from anxiety, you could just prescribe them marijuana.
Yeah.
Because that's what they all do now.
Of course, yeah.
That's how you get the medical marijuana.
Together. That'd be a great way to spend the day, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, right on, man, and all this kind of stuff, you know. So so the hippies did do something for us after all those filthy hippie slobs.
You had to play all that.
But
you know,
anyway, what the story is, so this psychiatrist thinks he can out-psych Columbo. But Columbo turns out to be a more brilliant detective than the psychiatrist. But when you see a psychiatrist treating some of his patients, you know, they say things like, you know, doctor, you know, I think I'm going to kill somebody. And he said, well, that's just an expression of your insecurity. Yeah. But he doesn't actually then say, don't kill anybody or anything like that. Mm. I think all psychiatrists are basically frauds. Do you know why?
Why?
Because when a doctor like my Dr. Banner, the
heart guy,
audiothoracic consultant.
You're going to see him again soon, haven't you?
I'll see him probably in January. He can see my heart working or not working. Yeah. He can see it through what you call an echo. That's a thing you rub across your chest, okay?
All right.
You can
see. Is that like a thing you put gel on? Is that like a.
Absolutely.
What they use to look at babies?
That's right, absolutely.
Same
right.
Kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Sonogram.
Sonogram. You can actually put a tube up through your thigh.
Yeah.
Right into your heart chambers with a camera on the end, they can see all that. So you actually see.
Doesn't that hurt when they do that?
No, it doesn't hurt at all.
Really?
Doesn't hurt at all.
Does it not feel weird?
You can't feel it, Mike.
Really?
They freeze that part of your leg where they put it in, right? Okay.
You don't feel it going up inside
you? No, definitely not.
That would scare
if you do,
Jesus
it means they've torn something, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's too fucking late by then.
Well, it would be too late, that's what I mean, but I've never felt that. And it goes through, it doesn't go through veins, it goes through the, what's the big blood things called? Not veins,
called
arteries.
Puzzles?
No,
oh,
arteries, it goes through arteries. Oh, okay. But anyway, and so at least they can see the organ they're looking after.
Yeah.
But nobody can see whether the brain's working properly or not when you look at it. You see what I mean?
That's true.
It's through talking, through your mouth. Mm. You know what I mean?
Well, unless,
all
of course, you have actually
in my
got,
view.
Unless you've got some kind of brain injury, in which case they can see that.
Oh, of course they can. But I'm talking about somebody who's suffering mental illness, not physical illness of the brain.
Yes.
You see what I mean?
Right.
And all you can rely on is what the person's telling you.
Right.
And that's why so many criminals in the world get away with blue murder or even real murder.
Yeah.
Because they talk bollocks and psychiatrists convince people it wasn't his fault.
So why have you got it in for all psychiatrists, though?
Well, listen, never mind psychiatrists.
Just because this woman is a particularly bad example of someone who's been ripping off the NHS for a very, very long time. Something should be done about it, by the way.
Well,
there's more evidence for me of what has gone wrong with the bleeding state of the NHS.
Yeah, well, you say that now. Anyway, look, never mind psychiatrists. I want to talk to you about, you know, one of your heroes in life, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to throw this at you now, right?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. What is
Baroness
this?
Brahe.
Oh, yeah, Michelle Mo.
Who does not appear
Fine
any
woman.
Longer in the House of Lords.
What do you mean she doesn't appear?
She's a member of the House of Lords and she never goes there. Why is that?
Well, probably like the same reason.
She's your big mate, isn't she?
She's not a big mate of mine, no. I happen to know her a little bit. I knew her when I was in Scotland.
Oh, really?
When she was running Ultimo.
Oh,
the
really?
Thing. Yes.
Oh, really?
Oh, really, yes.
And what
do you
was
mean?
Your real... What was your
what
real,
do you mean by that?
What was your real motive for knowing
her? I have no motive. She's
yes,
not,
you did.
She's not my type of woman at all.
You would have loved to have shagged her.
Not true.
Yes, you would.
She's a little bit too old for me, to be honest.
Rubbish.
She's 47.
Oh, ooh, you know. Too old for you.
She is a bit too
old
for me.
Yeah, you're at least 10 years older than that.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter to me. I mean, that is really not the issue at stake.
Do you think she's an attractive woman?
I don't think she does it for me. Let's put it that way. I think there was a time when she was attractive. She got very sad eyes to me.
What do you mean, sad
she's
eyes?
Got, when you look into her eyes, she's got very sad eyes. Which
well,
tells
she's got a very rich Italian boyfriend now.
She
they
has
sail
now.
Around the world together,
that's
okay?
That's right, yeah.
But why doesn't she appear in the House of Lords? She was made Baroness by David Cameron, right?
Well, I mean, everything David Cameron did has now turned to shit.
Everything
so,
David Cameron
so
did.
So the idea that she's no longer in the House of Lords is just something else that he did.
By the way.
And he shouldn't have bloody well done.
Over the weekend
what
again.
A plank.
Again, talking to some of my political pundit friends
are
actually telling me that members of the Tory party are saying that if there's a challenge to Theresa May's leadership, she falls, bring back Cameron.
You must be joking.
No, they're actually saying that.
Well, I mean, if some you could go back in time, that. If you could go back in time to before the referendum, and maybe, yes, we could do that, and then he wouldn't order the bloody referendum in the first place.
Yeah.
But I think you're picking on Michelle Moan here, Lady Moan.
Well, look at her voting record.
Well, never mind the voting record.
I've just shown you this document with her voting
record,
right? It says
here, out of a total of 457 sitting days in the House of Lords since she entered the House, she attended just 89.
Yeah,
that's less than two every 10 working days.
That's right.
Well, she's a busy woman.
That's one a week.
Then there's nobody that tells you.
Bollocks.
She doesn't get money unless she turns up, right?
So you get £350 a day.
Yeah, but only if you turn up. You don't get that unless you turn up. So actually she's saving the taxpayer money by not turning up and just having lunch there, which is what the vast majority of bloody people do.
Complete
in
bollocks.
The House of Lords. I've got another mate who's in the House of
Lords. Is that business of hers still going?
Well, she sold off the bra business now. And she's with this guy, as you quite rightly say.
Yeah.
She also got involved in one of those cryptocurrency scenarios. Have you heard this story?
Well, I got somebody on cryptocurrency tried to blackmail me. I told
you,
didn't I?
What do you mean cryptocurrency blackmail?
Well, I told you, and other people have had it. What happens is you get this email, and it says...
they're going to expose all of the horribleness you get up to on the internet, right?
That's what they say.
Yeah. Well, aren't you worried about that?
No, because I've never looked at anything which
You've never looked at anything dodgy on the internet?
Never.
Are you sure?
Do you know what? On my TV at home, which has got hundreds of channels, like yours has and all that, I've never looked at an X-rated channel. Never
in my
life.
Looked at Babe Station?
I've never looked at Babe Station, never looked at an X-rated, never certainly pursued, you know, the deeper, darker bollocks and all that kind of stuff. No. Now, on the dark web. The dark web, yeah.
I don't even know where that is.
I don't even know where it is. Now, on the internet, of course, you could actually go and find yourself some hardcore porn if you wanted, couldn't
you? It's not very difficult.
How do you know?
Because I've seen it.
What?
Of course I have.
What do you
mean? What are you going to pretend I haven't seen porn for?
What? You mean you actually sometimes go home and watch this?
No, but I've seen it. I mean, you can get porn on Twitter. You do know that,
well,
right?
Well, hang on. What do you mean you've seen it? You saw it accidentally or did you look for it?
I didn't look for it, but I have looked for example, there have been stories involving people like Stormy Daniels, right?
Yeah.
Now, in order to properly research that story...
Oh, research.
You need to see what Stormy Daniels has been in.
Oh, research,
yeah. Now, it's not my fault if you put Stormy Daniels into the bloody Google search and suddenly up pops some kind of pornographic picture.
Does it?
Yeah, of course
it
does.
I didn't know that.
You've never put Stormy Daniels into the search engine?
No, definitely not.
Really?
Definitely not.
Okay,
I promise
you. Well, what about all these other women who have been involved in, you know, porn shaming and all of that?
Yeah.
You've had to cover those stories.
I have never, for instance, who's the Hilton, Paris Hilton?
Paris Hilton.
Now, isn't one of the most famous sort of disgusting sex videos in the world?
Not really disgusting, to be honest.
No, not disgusting, but her having oral sex with a man, is that right?
That is true, but it's not. You can't really see an awful lot of it.
Oh, you've seen it then?
Of course I have, because you have to look at this stuff.
I wouldn't watch stuff like that.
Why not?
I'm a Christian.
You're not a Christian.
I'm a Christian.
When's the last time you were in church?
Well, it doesn't matter. I lead a Christian life. Oh, I'm God-fearing.
What a load of rubbish.
I fear the Almighty would
Pamela
judge
Anderson
me.
What about Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee? Have you not seen that?
Of course not.
Well,
what,
you should
what's
look
about?
At it.
What's
quite
that
entertaining.
About?
Well, that's Pamela Anderson
what?
And Tommy Lee, who was in the band Guns N' Roses,
yes.
right? Was it? Or Motley Crue?
No, Motley Crue.
Motley Crue.
Yeah. Well, he's got like a load of tattoos.
They've made a sex tape.
Apparently, he's got a load of tattoos on his member as well.
That I didn't see.
Apparently.
Well, I didn't see that.
Well, did you see his member?
I did.
Well, no. Come on, this is disgusting.
Why?
Is this still available?
Yeah, you just put it in the internet and find it.
Well, shouldn't this be, like, rubbed off and banned?
Rubbed off?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, no, what I mean is there should be a way of saying this is no longer available.
Well, I think if you want to, and we have to do this at home sometimes, you can put filters on your internet, okay?
Yeah.
You can put parental controls
I wouldn't watch all
on
this.
Your internet.
I wouldn't watch
Maybe
all this
Maybe you
stuff.
Have parental controls. It's not about whether you want to watch it. The
I
point is that, you know...
I couldn't live in myself.
Know, there are only two things that make money on the internet, right? One is pornography and one is gambling.
Yeah.
Now, do you know why that is?
Well, they're both, like, have sources in perversion.
No, they are both very popular. That's
very
what they
popular,
are.
Yeah.
In the same way, the Two Mics podcast is very popular.
Yes, that's
People
right.
like to listen to it.
That's right.
You can't just make it unavailable and say, well, I'm sorry, that's too grown up for you.
I don't know about this.
You know, listen, I believe in liberty. Mm. I believe in freedom of information.
Yeah.
And I believe
fraternity,
in most
liberty.
Most people, I mean, as long as children are not looking at it, you know, and you can stop them from doing so. But don't you forget that there are kids in school who know more about the internet than you do, right?
Right.
And they know how to get stuff.
This is all worrying me, I'm telling you.
Why is it worrying you?
Well, because I don't think all this stuff should
be
available.
Anyway, I don't know how we got onto the subject of pornography. We're talking about Baroness Moan.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Who's a very fine woman. I don't know why you're besmirching your reputation. Well, I'm saying to you that she's actually saving the country money by not claiming 300 quid every time she turns up and then doesn't do any work.
Yeah, you're saying that. My problem with all this is that what happened to the physical relationship between men and women when it was sacred? You know what I mean? When it was all about...
What do you mean, when you were shagging them on the stairs?
No.
Well, one of them was bent over. Is that what you're talking about?
No, no.
That's
course,
what you were saying
earlier. Of course I'm
You'd
not.
You'd have that back now.
Of course I'm not. Of course I'm not saying anything like that. What I'm saying is that all things
I'm
go...
I'm slightly disturbed that, you know, a lot of our podcasts now seem to be turning to this kind of rather sexual theme.
No.
And I don't wish that to be the case.
No, I'm trying to clean up the world.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You're trying to
One
pollute
One step
it.
At a time. I'm not trying
you're
to
trying
pollute
to pollute
it.
I'm
no,
trying to clean
it. No, listen, I have more invested in making it cleaner because I have more children.
Yeah.
You know, I want my children to be protected from
the world. Yes. Do you really?
Of course I do.
Do you?
Well, every parent wants their children to be protected.
But I think there's a fine dividing line in your life between what you regard acceptable in adult behaviour and what you regard acceptable in child and teenage behaviour.
Don't forget.
Quite rightly.
Don't forget that I'm responsible for raising my children the right way.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I don't believe in hiding them from the truth. I don't believe in taking the truth away from them.
But you don't see them most of the time. You don't see them
most
of the time.
That's not true. I see them all the time.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, during the week, you're working.
That's not true. I'm going to see my...
Your kids are getting on with it, getting no guidance or direction from their father.
I speak to them every day if I'm not there. I go to their school report.
Two-minute phone call every day. You know,
parents evening.
Keep yourself on the straight and narrow, son.
How often do you speak to your fucking kids?
Well, I don't have any kids.
Oh, exactly. So what do you know about it?
But I know everything about it.
Really? Oh, of course. You're like one of these fucking people who has no children.
Oh, so you're getting all het up now. Using bad language.
I get head up because people like you who know nothing about children, who detest children, who think that the only fucking way to look after them is to hand them a load of money.
No, that's what you do. I've got a niece and a nephew.
Yeah, that's all you do is give them money, though.
Who are on the straight and narrow, and a lot of that
they
is...
They don't even like you.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Is the influence
it's
of their
true.
Uncle.
No,
the influence
it's not
of their uncle, okay?
All they see you as is a meal ticket, right? So give them money. And now they don't need your money anymore, so they fucked you off. You never see him, do you?
Yes, I do.
When do you see him?
Saw him last week.
Last week?
I'll see him at Christmas.
Oh, Christmas?
Yes.
Well, that's quite a long way off.
Yeah, well, you
so
know.
Well, once a month you see him?
It's only 3 weeks or four weeks or something, yeah.
Okay.
I see them when I can, but I mean, they're adult people. They get about their own
life.
Yeah,
they've got
but
their they own life. They've got no interest in you.
They know their uncle is there as a rock of solidarity. I'm like Plymouth Rock to them, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I am.
Old and fucking boring. That's why they don't want to see
why
you.
Why do you have to be insulting like that?
Because you started it.
No, I didn't.
You said to me that you know all about children. You know all about children. You know the square root of fuck all.
No, I'm sorry, I don't. Psychiatrists know fuck all squared about things, but I am not a psychiatrist,
okay? Have you ever had
to
see a child go to a psychiatrist? Because that happens a lot now. Children get sent to psychiatrists so they can get to the bottom of what's wrong with them.
Really?
Which I don't think is a very good idea.
I don't think it's a very good idea
But
at
you know,
all.
When we lived in New York City, almost everyone you met who was an American, almost everyone that you met had a shrink.
From New
Do you remember?
York's. Yeah, well, they all had shrinks.
They
I mean,
all
what
had
about,
shrinks.
What about that series, and I never watched a single episode of it, Sex in the City, about these
Sex
four...
Sex and the City.
Sex and the City, was it?
What do you mean you never watched any of it?
Never watched a single episode.
Well, how did you know about it?
Well, because it got lots of publicity in the printed media.
Did you ever write
which
about
I'd read.
It?
Never wrote about it, no.
You never wrote about it?
No.
Are you sure?
I don't care about it. It's four women, all, you know, one of them's a
one
big shagaroonie, eh?
One of us from Liverpool.
Yeah, sure. It was up to...
Samantha.
Cal somebody?
Samantha was her name in the show.
Yeah, what was her real name?
I can't remember.
It was Cal or something like that it was, yeah. Because the main one was Sarah Jane somebody, wasn't
Sarah
it?
Sarah Jane Parker.
Sarah Jane Parker, you say? I knew about that and all.
Sarah Jessica Parker, in fact.
Sarah Jessica Parker, that's absolutely right, yeah. And I never watched it because it's a woman's programme.
Well, not really. If you want to understand
Did you watch
women,
it?
Yeah, of course I did. If you want to understand women, you need to watch that sort of show because every woman in the world watched it,
but,
right? They all watched it.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to know what they're watching in
Wasn't
order to understand
one of them
an
inveterant shagger?
They all were.
Are they all inveterate shaggers?
They all
I saw
were.
One. I saw one clip for one episode where a woman was at a Keep Fit class, and it was a mixed Keep Fit class, and it Kim Cattrall. That's who you're
Kim
thinking
Cattrall.
About. Yeah, the one from Liverpool,
yeah,
right?
Samantha.
That's right. And she was in this Keep Fit class in this gym, and it got rather boring. And I was absolutely shocked, because what happened next was they were all on the hands and knees doing stretches and all that.
Yeah.
And it was getting rather boring.
Yeah.
She saw a bloke two away from her, because they were in a circle.
Uh-huh.
And she actually mouthed to this bloke, you know, do you fancy a fuck? right?
It's a bit unkind.
Yeah, no, that's what
to
she
use
mouthed.
That kind of wording on this
family show.
No,
well, it's a family show, but she mouthed that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the reason I whispered it was because it wasn't actually spoken, it was lip language.
I see.
Right. Do you know what I mean?
You can't really do that on an audio file.
No, you can't. And
well, you're lucky you didn't see the one with her and the Brazilian woman.
Hang on. And then a bloke nodded, and then they both got up and said, oh, okay, we're finished now, ran out, and then went and got into horizontal refreshment, standing up refreshment.
Well, what's wrong with that?
In the room that had the heavyweight punch bags.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Or in the gym?
In the gym.
Right. So you have watched it then?
I saw that clip, that was all.
That's the only clip.
What's this about her and a Brazilian woman?
Well, there was a sort of, she had a couple of lesbian affairs as well.
Oh,
and there was one quite shocking scene, even for me. And I used to watch it with my girlfriend at the time, which is why I used to watch it, because she used to like it. Right, but this scene.
So this is a turn on, was it, between you and your girlfriend?
No. She used to watch the show.
That's pretty seedy.
No. I said this. She used to watch the show.
That is pretty seedy.
No, she used to watch the show, so I'd watch it with her.
Oh right, yeah,
it wasn't a turn on.
Yeah,
no, you want to watch porn for that, right?
Yeah. No, I don't watch porn.
No, I know you don't. That's what you keep saying.
No.
There's more lies from
you.
Everybody knows. Everybody watches porn. Everybody watches it.
I don't.
Rubbish.
I don't.
Absolute bollocks.
I don't.
Well,
so what's this Brazilian?
Anyway, the Brazilian scene was very what can only be described as I don't know. I suppose you'd say quite specific and quite kind of graphic.
Intimate.
Quite graphic.
Oh yes.
The woman was performing a sex act on Kim Cattrall.
Oh, I don't know.
Right?
I don't know. Don't want to hear any more.
I don't know why we keep talking about this.
You keep coming back to it, you know?
No, we were talking about Michelle Mohn.
Yeah, that's right.
And now you're somehow talking about
lesbian sex. Well, Michelle Mohn was in the lingerie industry, right?
She was.
So that's, you know, that's...
Well, women wear lingerie.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's part of
it.
Most
women do wear lingerie.
You know, I think we've got to clean our act up here, you know?
I think we do.
I think it's, you know, I think it's...
I think that's enough about sex.
Yeah, so
I don't think we should talk about it anymore. This is on the record. We're the two mics.
This guy suddenly turned up at... You know, one Christmas called Dr. Banner.
Dr. Banner?
Yeah.
Surely that can't be his real name.
Well, Dr. Banner is my consultant.
I thought he was your heart guy.
He is at Harefield Hospital, but amazingly...
Was he related to the other Dr. Banner?
No, I don't think so. Amazingly, like 40 years ago, 50 years ago, this other Dr. Banner is walking around.
Right.
And...
Well, who takes their psychiatrist home with them?
I don't know. I've no idea.
Well, he couldn't have been treating him, surely.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. But what I'm saying is... Dr. Banner was clearly much more fucking mental than the people he was treating.
Right.
It was obvious.
What I mean about your lack of compassion for these characters?
I have never, for instance, who's the Hilton? Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton.
Now, isn't one of the most famous sort of disgusting sex videos in the world?
Not really disgusting, to be honest.
No, not disgusting, but her... having oral sex with a man, is that right?
That is true, but it's not. You can't really see an awful lot of it.
Oh, you've seen it then?
Of course I have, because you have to look at this stuff.
I wouldn't watch stuff like that.
Why not?
I'm a Christian.
You're not a Christian.
I'm a Christian.
When's the last time you were in church?
Well, it doesn't matter. I lead a Christian life. Oh, I'm God-fearing.
What a load of rubbish.
I fear the Almighty would judge me.
What about Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee? Have you not seen that?
Of course not.
Well,
what's that about?
It's quite entertaining.
About?
Well, that's Pamela Anderson.
What?
And Tommy Lee, who was in... the band Guns N' Roses,
yes.
Right, was it? Or Motley Crue?
No, Motley Crue.
Motley Crue.
Yeah. Well, he's got like a load of tattoos.
They've made a sex tape.
Apparently, he's got a load of tattoos on his member as well.
That I didn't see.
Apparently.
Well, I didn't see that.
Well, did you see his member?
I did.
Well, no, come on, this is disgusting.
Why?
Is this still available?
Yeah, you just put it in the internet and find it.
Do you fancy a fuck? Right?
It's a bit unkind.
Yeah, no, that's what she mouthed.
To use that kind of wording on this
no,
family
no,
show.
No, well, it is a family show, but she mouthed that.
Yeah.